Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Health Matters. This is Mike Royer, and we invite you to watch this entire interview on the WVUA 23 website or the website of University Medical Center. And of course, this also becomes a podcast that many of you have notified us that you listen to. So however you hear this information, we're glad that it's available to you. Dr. Jamie Reeves, you've been with us before. It's good to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about challenges today of mental health. We're going to, in a future segment, talk about senior adults, geriatric patients who deal with issues. But we have come out of a little over 2 years of, I guess, the most challenging worldwide medical event that we've seen in our lifetime. How are you and your patients coming out of it? I guess you smile, and I guess you're seeing more smiles these days, that there doesn't seem to be quite as high of a stress level.
Absolutely, yes, sir. I've noticed quite a bit in my patients, especially parents who have young kids, in my experience, have been mostly impacted by this. The change in terms of having to do at-home schooling, manage a job, manage their children, manage other kind of stresses, and worried about their kids getting sick from COVID. That has been a real stressful experience of all the different age groups, the different patients I've seen. It's the parents who I've seen have been most impacted by this. So they've been very happy to have their kids back in school, to go back to work, to have a normal life again. And that's relieved a lot of the anxiety. And that's probably the biggest thing I saw during COVID was just a lot of anxiety about the unknown. Are their kids going to get sick? They're very protective of their children. Are they going to get sick? The changes to their job situation. So yes, that's been my experience. Is people are very happy to get back to normal.
You have a lot of experience in private practice. Also, you served our country in the Navy. That was an entirely different kind of practice, I know, and a valuable experience for you. What has it been like as a physician to deal with something you didn't know about? You studied most things that you deal with, I'm sure, in all of your training, but this was an entirely different medical challenge. Did it require you to kind of step back and take a look at, okay, this is different, this is scary, not just to one patient, but to all of my patients, and it's the only thing in my lifetime that's affected the entire globe, really. Did it affect your approach to talking to patients, or did you just continue to be honest with them and say, I feel some of the same stress you feel?
You know, one of the interesting things about this is, as you mentioned, I was in the Navy for 20 years. Yeah. My last assignment prior to retiring a year and a half ago was head of mental health for the Navy, advising the Surgeon General, which is right when COVID happened in 2020, in that springtime. And we were having to re-gear how we do mental health in the Navy. And in comes this idea of telepsychiatry, telemental health. And that became our main focus, is trying to convert regular outpatient clinical appointments to telemedicine. And we saw a huge increase in satisfaction amongst our patients of being able to have their visits through a telemedicine component. A lot more people showed up for their appointments. It was easier for them to feel comfortable talking to us rather than having to fight their way into a clinic. And at University of Alabama, I've seen the same thing. A lot of people very happy to move into the telemental health. So that has, in some ways, been the silver lining of the pandemic, is moving into this field where a lot of patients feel a lot more comfortable, and a lot more patients are getting care because of the telemental health option.
And what you call telemental health is exactly what we call Zoom, correct? They just dial in and talk. What a nice comfort level, too, during the pandemic, to think I don't have to get out, I don't have to come in contact with other people, when the fears were really high. And after it's over, and it's not totally over, but we're certainly in a better place, do some of your people still prefer using telemedicine and doing it from the comfort of their home rather than come to you?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, to my shock and dismay, I've seen recently where insurance companies are no longer covering telemental health to the same extent they were during COVID because of the pandemic. Acute emergency is over with, and a lot of my patients are quite unhappy to have to know that they have to take a lot of time out of their work and try to get to the clinic and wait for an appointment and things like that. So it is. I was hoping that once we passed through that door into telemental health, we would not be going back into the old days. Some things are needed for in-person appointments, sure. Doing a physical exam, things like that. A lot of psychiatry, we don't necessarily need to, you know, lay hands on patients. We shouldn't be doing that as psychiatrists. And so so my hope is that somehow Medicare and other groups work a way to make sure that we can make this approach a permanent part of how we practice.
A segment about insurance and how they govern what's paid for and what isn't is a segment for another day with another guest. I won't try to lead you down that road, but you have people making decisions that aren't doctors, aren't in with patients like you are. Are you able, and other doctors too, to at least send word to companies that you really ought to take a look at this? It probably will save us all money and trouble later on if you'll let us continue doing this because it's working so well. Are you able to voice that up the chain to the people who pay the bills?
Well, I actually encourage the viewers to call their congressman or whoever the representative is to make a note to that, to say to the Center for Medicare, who makes a lot of these decisions in the government, is to, you know, advocate for the fact that Medicare should continue to cover these mental health visits as they would other visits, so that we can ensure people who aren't able to get to appointments get the care that they need. And so we do advocate for that, and we are maybe seeing some signs that there may be a change, but it has been frustrating for a lot of people to find out that they have to come back in person.
Are your patients all adults, or do you do some adolescent work as well?
I'm an adult psychiatrist, so yes, mine are all adults.
And I don't think I've ever asked you this. I don't think I've asked Dr. Burkhardt or other professionals this. What are the most common three or four, if you don't mind, things that patients come to you? First appointment, they come in, they say, Dr. Reeves, here's my problem. Here's what I'm dealing with. What are the top of the mind things that you deal with every single day?
Anxiety and depression are the two biggest things by far that we deal with. And those are the most common that we see. So about 20% or so of people in their lifetime, 10 to 20%, will experience a depressive episode in their lifetime. So that's quite common, and it's horrible to feel depressed. And so people definitely want to come in and get help for that. And then anxiety, just worries about general everyday life that build up when someone causes a certain amount of stress or the other things. Actually, the most common things in life are phobias, like fear of heights and fear of spiders, as you may imagine.
Yeah.
But usually they don't come in to get help for that. They just kind of live with that anxiety. But it's when it gets to the point where the anxiety prevents them from doing their job or from living a happy life, and it causes problems within the family, that type of anxiety and depression is usually what leads them to actually to come in.
We hear someone's afraid of being in an elevator alone or afraid of spiders, like you mentioned, and we go, really? Why would that bother you? It's easy to doubt, but if it's a real thing to one of your real patients, it's a real thing.
Absolutely, yeah. For some people, it may seem silly, but for them, it's horrible. It's
yes.
a life-threatening fear that sends them into a horrible panic.
I'm going to end this segment with you the same way I ended a recent segment with Dr. Burkhardt. I told our listeners and viewers there's no copay involved in this at all. We're going to get this free answer from this psychiatrist today. So here's your non-billable minute. No matter what a viewer or listener is dealing with today, depression, sadness, loneliness, what's the first step you'd recommend to anyone out there to begin to deal with it themselves?
That's a great question. There are a lot of wonderful things you can do for depression and anxiety, which have nothing to do with treatment or medication. In fact, some of the best studies out there are on lifestyle changes, which can help modify that. I was a cross-country runner in college. I was, you know, avid athlete. And if I don't get my exercise in for the day, I start to feel anxious or depressed.
Yes.
And so, you know, regular exercise, study after study, shows work about as well as antidepressants do for anxiety or for depression. Eating a healthy diet, one that's kind of Mediterranean-type diet, works just as well as antidepressants. So staying away from the fast food and fried food and high-sugar foods can definitely improve your mood and anxiety. And socialization is something that really helps. A lot of people who isolate themselves, it tends to work in the opposite effect. People tend to become more isolative, more anxious. The more you're around other people, you're using your brain, you're having some, you know, hopefully good activity, the more your mood can go up. So if I tell people anything, and the last thing I say is get a good night's rest. If I could do anything for my patients is just try to get, you know, 6 to 8 hours of sleep instead of the 3 to 4 that you're getting right now, and that will really improve your mood.
With zero medical training, I have a theory that loneliness is a potentially dangerous thing and a sad thing. And so socialization, you mentioned, do something about being alone all the time. I like being alone sometimes, but not for a long time. Mm-hmm. So touching people, hugging people, laughing with people is still important.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a big risk factor in study after study, is how much loneliness can be corrosive to your mental health in multiple different ways.
Dr. Jamie Reeves, I enjoy talking with you every time you've been our guest. Thank you today. And in a future program, we're going to discuss senior adults. Now that I'm a senior adult, I'm especially interested in this. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Mike.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.